Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Pro Basketball Talk podcast here at NBC Sports. This is an all-star game edition where we're going to talk about the starters that were named. We're going to do a mock draft with Dan Feldman of NBC Sports and talk about, hey, who would we pick if we were Curry and LeBron? And then we'll get into who should be the reserves in the East and West, which, of course, go into one big pool, and they're drafted. We'll get to all that in a few minutes with Dan Feldman. But first, just a reminder, if you're enjoying this podcast, please subscribe. Please comment. Go to applepodcast.com/PBT on NBC. That's Pro Basketball Talk, PBT on NBC. Again, subscribe, comment, and you can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Google Play. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. Please check it out. Of course, you can find all our work, too, at NBCSports.com. And, well, let's start talking All-Stars. And to break it all down, our man Dan Feldman from NBC Sports. How's it going today, Dan?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. All right. We're going to talk about the All-Star game. I guess we got to start with just saying who came in as the starters. Remember, this is a vote 50% from the fans, 25% from the media, 25% from current players who made some, as always, a few interesting choices out there. Seti Osman as a starter. Nonetheless, it went fairly predictably, I think, according to form. In the West, the starting guards are Stephen Curry and James Harden. The front court is Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus Cousins. In the East, it is Kyrie Irving and DeMar DeRozan as the guards. LeBron, Giannis, Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid are the front court. Now, it's a little different, of course. LeBron James and Steph Curry are the captains. They're going to pick teams schoolyard style. They can choose from whichever conference they want. But among that, they're going to choose first from that pool of starters, then the reserves, and we'll get to them in a minute. From that pool of starters, I don't really have a problem with anybody who made it in.
No, I don't either. I mean, I probably wouldn't have picked DeMar DeRozan or DeMarcus Cousins myself. But those are guys who are right in the mix.
Yeah, exactly. For the record, I was one of the media members with a vote. My East matched up well. It was tough to choose between DeRozan and Oladipo. And in the West, my only difference was that I didn't have Cousins starting, and I had LaMarcus Aldridge in there. But again, I think you can make a really good case for Cousins, who has better raw numbers than LaMarcus. So I certainly don't have a problem with any of it. It kind of follows form, and I think Steph Curry and LeBron James being the two captains kind of makes sense. I mean, those are probably the two most popular players in the world. Durant's the only guy who could maybe make a case for that, but he was very happy not to be the guy choosing.
Yes, he's definitely somebody who cares what other people think about him, and to ruffle those feathers and get caught up in all that drama, I think he just wants to avoid it.
And he gets to, so we are going to now make our mock draft of who we would choose among the starters pool between Dan and I for our all-star teams. And we will do it live, basically. We are willing to do it live on the air right here, unlike the NBA, who is going to do this in some sort of secretive closed-door fashion so nobody's feelings are hurt. Dan, what do you think the odds are that the order gets out anyway?
Very high. I mean, Adam Silver basically embraced it. He did an interview on NBA TV talking about televising the draft. He's like, look, reporters are going to get it anyway. Like, I'm sure it'll get out, which to me suggests that maybe it's not the NBA as gung-ho about not televising it as it is the players' union.
I would think that it could very well be the players' union and agents who just, you know, hey, I'm the agent of DeMar DeRozan or somebody, and I don't want to see my guy picked last, and so there's some pressure there just to save face, even though, look, I'm an all-star. The guy's an all-star starter, even an all-star period. It doesn't really I don't really get it, but egos get repped. I think the NHL did this one year, didn't they?
They did it live. They had all the players there, and it was exciting.
Yes, exactly. And somehow they got over it, but here we are. We're going to do this behind closed doors and announce the team. Dan and I decided. Go ahead.
Just real quick with the agent idea and the players not wanting it, like, it could be a positive for them too to get picked late. Like, look at, first of all, like you said, they're already all stars. But look at somebody like Kent Bazemore. One of the first things a lot of people knew about Kent Bazemore was how mad he was about his NBA rank on ESPN. He was in the 400 somewhere. He knows the exact number. And
yes.
He really cared about it. And he became a good player in spite of that and really worked his way up. And that became his narrative. And that's a big reason he became known. It helped his popularity. Imagine the guy who's the last pick just dominating the All-Star game. What a cool story would that be? How great would that be for his popularity?
Exactly. By the way, guys get really hung up on their either NBA rank and / their 2K score. I mean, guys get really hung up on that.
There's also another solution. Do you remember a few years ago when for the rookie sophomore game, they had guys from TNT. I'm pretty sure it was Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith, but some
yes,
of the two guys from
yes.
TNT were the coaches and they drafted. And what? I was so excited to see who the last picks would be and how that would get treated. And for the last four guys, they just assigned them randomly. No, once you got down to the final four, nobody was actually picked. They just picked names out of a hat for which team those four guys would be on. And nobody had hurt feelings. Like, there are ways around this while still getting some of the excitement of a live draft.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that is an alternative that would have worked too. So, or we could just have Kenny and Charles choose it. They can do the draft live on TNT. That would actually be entertaining as well, with Shaq just throwing weird comments in from the side. So.
I think I'd want Shaq to be one of the drafters. I think I'd want it to be Shaq and Chuck, especially after last night, how they kind of went at each other as they were analyzing the starter picks.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Dan and I decided to, like I said, we are going to do our draft through the starters as if we were LeBron and Curry, and we flipped a digital coin the other night. Dan Feldman has said he's wanted to go bald, so he wanted to be LeBron. And so, even though I'm the guy who's actually bald, so... Dan, you then, by virtue of getting more votes by 100,000 or so, give or take, than me, you are now the person with the first pick in the draft. You are on the clock.
All right. So I really want to take Lonzo Ball or some other Laker and spur all that talk. Unfortunately, none of them are available. So what's the best passive-aggressive move I can make? What's the other team I'm often linked to? I'm taking James Harden, and I'm immediately leaking it. I want everybody to know I like playing with James Harden. I want Houston to be ready to have cap space for me, because that could be a good place to go. And I want the Cavs on alert and doing everything they can to keep me, so that situation is more appealing. And it doesn't hurt that he might be the best player available, but I don't care about that so much. I'm taking Harden, and I'm leaking it immediately.
That is brilliant. Yeah, that'll be... Can you imagine? Because Daryl Morey's just jumping up and down. Like, he'd tweet about it in 4 seconds.
By the way, my first reserve pick is going to be Chris Paul, just a heads up.
As it should be. We're assuming Chris Paul makes the team. I guess he probably will. We'll get to the reserves in a minute. The reserve guards in the West is brutal.
Yeah.
It's a brutal selection process. All right. Well, I actually think that's – I love that you did that. With the number one pick, though, now I'm Steph Curry, and I'm thinking, I already got my guy. I'm going to keep him happy. So I've got to keep Kevin Durant my guy, so I'm going to put Durant on my team with me. So I will take KD as my first pick.
Okay. That's what I expected. He is who I would have taken next, but that is what I expected. Figured that's where you'd go. So I'm going to take Giannis Antetokounmpo, number three. I love that he said he would draft me number one when he held the All-Star lead. I kind of want to show that I'm not holding a grudge. He got more player votes than me. That kind of surprised me. So I want to be aligned with him. He's a bright, rising young player. And even if our paths never cross sharing a team, that seems unlikely. Marketing-wise and all that, I want to be aligned with Giannis and his rising star.
Exactly. By the way, you mentioned Lonzo earlier. You know he finished, was it sixth in the fan voting in guards? Seventh? Like, ahead of Damian Lillard, ahead of people.
Well, look where he finished in player voting. So don't give me that it's just the fans getting carried away. Like, he finished strangely high in player voting. Like, people, including guys who play in this league, are getting wrapped up in the Lonzo Ball phenomenon.
It's crazy. And look, he's a nice player, but he's just an... Oh, he's such a rookie, and it's so media. Yeah, I don't like it's an all-star game, but I suppose we have to remember it is entertainment, and the fans should sort of get what they want. But that would be that, you know, the Zaza Pachulia situation all over again. Or how many years did Yao Ming get voted into the all-star game when he didn't play the first half of the season due to a foot injury?
Yeah, those were rough. The late Iverson years and the late Kobe years.
Were definitely in there. Yeah, where they're kind of going in on their fame and what they had done in the past. If I'm going next, you know what? There's a lot of options out there, but I want the next bit. You know, it's not going to last forever with Golden State. I mean, we've got this thing together for another 3-4 years, but eventually this is going to break up, and I want to have a position with the next big guy. So I will take Anthony Davis off the board. Plus, like, I want to win this game, and Anthony Davis dropped 52 last year. Granted, it was in New Orleans, and he was trying to impress the hometown crowd. But Anthony Davis can score on anybody, and in the 5 minutes of this game at the end, when we decide to play defense, he'll be handy.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's kind of who I expected you to take. He wasn't quite as high on my board, but I thought that's who you would take. And I love that appeal of warming him up to the Warriors culture. I think I'm gonna take DeMarcus Cousins here.
Yeah, that's
because
a good call.
we can spark some rumors about us going to the Lakers together or
yes.
Cleveland trading for him. Like, this gets my name back in the headlines. We're kind of at a mishmash in the pool where there's nobody I really love. I think all these guys are somewhat equal.
Yeah.
So I'll take Cousins in. And I think that'll be a juicier storyline, and more people will be talking about me.
Oh, they certainly will, because, you know, I still think Cousins ends up staying only because New Orleans can't afford to lose him. They're not going to trade him. They can't afford to lose him, so they are just going to come in high and hard in July with a big contract, and I don't think anybody else wants to match it. Or maybe Dallas. Would somebody like Dallas do that, do you think?
Maybe. I mean, but obviously the Pelicans can offer more than
yes.
Dallas is allowed to. And, you know, it's really a choice the Pelicans have to make now before the trade deadline. If you keep him, you're basically committed to maxing him out. There's really no way around it. You're really stuck as a franchise if you don't in the summer. So I think you have to make that choice now. And if you're not willing to, trade him.
Yeah, I think that they're all in. Oklahoma City's been all in. What about Kemba? First off, Kemba would be is exactly what they could use on the Pelicans. I just don't see a way that they could arrange that deal to get done without moving Cousins or getting into a three-way of some kind that would get very complex. I'm curious where he lands up. I think if he gets moved, and that's still an if, the most logical call might be the Detroit Pistons, where you are, in a deal that threw Reggie Jackson and some future pieces in there that could help them.
Yeah, that makes some sense. I would think there would be those talks. The catch is Reggie Jackson's contract is pretty expensive, and
yes.
The Pistons have their own payroll problems. So Adrian Wojnarowski reported today that at least it seems one of the things the Hornets are eager to talk about is dumping one of their other several bad contracts. The Pistons might be a tough place to take that in. To me, I'd look at the Knicks. I think the Knicks are always willing to spend. They could wait around for cap space to try and chase somebody like Kemba Walker. Or you could trade for him, take a bad contract with him, and have a bloated payroll. But the Knicks probably don't mind that if you get a quality player.
Yeah, but now what if you've got to give up? Because if I'm Charlotte, yeah, you're going to have to give me whatever. But you know what? I'm going to ask for Ntilikina. Like, I'm going to ask for Frankie Nichols out of this deal. And I don't know if I'm going to do that if I'm the Knicks. Like, so now who else are you getting in there?
Right. So it just kind of depends. I think the Knicks are very intriguing if they can look for a twofer of two guys who can accelerate their timeline, because I don't think Kemba Walker is good enough to do it alone. But if, I don't know, one name I'd look at, and I don't think this would be part of a single trade, but if I'm looking at a Knicks-Hornets trade, the Knicks obviously would have to send out some salary in addition to a young player like Frank Ntilikina or a draft pick. Somebody making salary pretty similar to Kemba Walker is Courtney Lee, who
yeah.
I think would be a real nice fit on the Cavs, could solve some of their shooting guard problems. And potentially, I'm not saying the Cavs would ever trade Kevin Love for Courtney Lee straight up, but as long as we're getting more complex, like, these are all kind of moving
yeah.
pieces that could land in a certain place. And if you're the Knicks and you have Porzingis and Kevin Love and Kemba Walker, that's a real interesting team to start. And so you'd obviously need to figure out, okay, well, what are the Cavs getting beyond Courtney Lee for Kevin Love, like players who can help them now?
Yeah.
And you might have to rope in another team. It gets complex. But the moving pieces around there, I think, are intriguing.
Yeah, there's some pieces there. I just don't know if the deal can get done. But I think that's one to watch. At least it's kind of like the DeAndre Jordan thing, too, with the Clippers, where, look, the Clippers are listening to offers for Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan. But the fact of the matter is that they're a borderline playoff team right now with an owner who doesn't really want to lose. So you're going to have to give them, like, you're going to have to give them an offer that really intrigues them right now. They're not just going to dump him to dump him, even though they could lose him this summer. So I think it's going to be the same thing with the Hornets. Like, you can get Kemba.
Agree.
Yeah, you can get Kemba, but you're going to have to give us something of value. So back to our draft. You know, at this point, like you said, I think some of the players are pretty even. I want to have fun with this. I want to enjoy myself. I want the, you know, look, I want this to be, it's a work weekend technically, but it's, you know, it's mostly a party. So I'm bringing in Joel Embiid. I'm going to see if I can get him a date with Rihanna, even if he doesn't want one.
You know, good solid pick, but I think you went around this about this the wrong way, and I'm so glad that you took Embiid, because the very last guy on my board, I'm thrilled to get DeMar DeRozan, because he's from Southern California. He knows his way around to the party.
Exactly. That's a good point.
He'd be taking the shine off of me. He'd be out there on the court doing his antics. Like, it would take away from me. I don't want to deal with that. I would much rather have the low-key DeRozan, who seems like a nice guy to be around.
So let me get this right. You're not going to take Kyrie Irving and reunite Kyrie and LeBron for an All-Star game?
Who's that? My board went 7 deep. I don't know who you're talking about. Everybody's off the board now.
Yeah, he's an up and coming player in Boston. He's never really done anything on a big stage before. But Kyrie Irving then would be my last guy, which makes an interesting. The Kyrie Irving Steph Curry backcourt isn't quite, by the way, Kyrie Irving and Klay Thompson stylistically, but it's not that bad. I mean, Kyrie can shoot the ball, can create. It's not as good defensively, but. You know, it's the All-Star game, so is anybody actually playing defense before the final 5 minutes, if that?
I have a question for you. Was Kyrie just the last on your board because of, you know, you already have Steph and just how you rate the other guys? Or was it in part because you knew LeBron wasn't going to take him, so
exactly.
why jump up to take him at all?
Actually, he was second to last. I had DeRozan a little slower, but, I mean, I was kind of one of those six and one, half dozen to the other. Like you said, when you get to the last few, I could have gone almost anywhere. I think, you know, Embiid, how good is he going to be? Can he play? Is there a minutes restriction on him in the All-Star game? He can only play 12
he's
minutes.
He's got to stay healthy until then. Yeah,
exactly.
No guarantee.
And, yeah, I'm like, all of a sudden I'm running through it. Like, who will be coaching? Who are the two coaches? Well, it can't be Stevens and Kerr because they did it last year. So it's probably D'Antoni and Dwayne Casey. I guess it'll be because it's Tyronn Lue's not going to get up there. So D'Antoni can play. I would say D'Antoni likes to play a short rotation and overplay guys. So, you know, if I could get him on the, you know, we can just run Embiid out there for 35 or 40 minutes and get him some blocks and stuff. So.
Yeah, but he's gonna run you and KD out there for so long, too.
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. I've got to have a talk with him. If he's my coach. Casey's been around the block forever. I'm not, you know, although this would be his first All-Star game as a coach, won't it?
Didn't he get one? Already,
I don't know. See, I'd have to go look that up. I don't know off the top of my head. That would require some level of research that I'm just not going to do right now. So we'll move on now. That's the starter pool. Now we're going on to the reserves and who we would have picked for our reserves. Let's go by conference. And for people who don't know, the coaches are the people, the coaches or their assistant coaches or somebody in media relations, but somebody with the team. I don't think it's quite as bad as the college football pools, which get, good Lord, who chooses those things sometimes down the staff list. But it's not quite that bad, but it's not always the head coach. You know, Greg Popovich isn't spending 45 minutes thinking about this. It's a fairly quick decision. But anyway, they have to choose. There's seven reserves in each conference. You have to choose two backcourt players, three frontcourt players, and then there's two wild cards that you can do whatever you'd like with. Let's start with the not all that
I've
easy.
Got a,
go ahead.
I've got a question. I don't know if you know this. I have no idea. Do coaches only vote within their own conference?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. That would make some sense. That's one of those things I'm almost curious enough to ask, but I don't know that I would get a response back before. I'm going to send off a quick text and see. I don't know if we would get a response back before the end of the I'll see if I can find it.
The end of the podcast, you're trying to stall?
Yeah, I'm like trying to stall but I don't have my phone right next to me when I did this because I didn't want it to go off.
I'll talk for a second while you do that, which is my crotchety complaint that, yes, that probably made sense in years past, or at least made some sense. Now that we have captains picking the All-Star teams, it's so dumb to still have it by conference. Yeah. We don't need the same number of All-Stars in each conference. And, you know, we could just have the 26 is what it should be, now that active rosters are 13, but barring that, just the 24 best players and not worry about conference, especially once the teams are getting split up. Like, that's a relic of the old system.
Yeah, all right. Well, I've sent off a quick text. We'll see if we get a response back before the end of the podcast to that question. But we move on to the reserves. Again, two backcourt, three front court, two wild cards, and we'll start with the East guards. To me, this was relatively clear cut. Victor Oladipo was a borderline starter, so I've got him in there, and then I've got John Wall as the other backcourt player.
Yep, I'm in line with you. How many guards do you have in the East?
That's the challenge. I really struggled last night. I have three, and I'm probably four. I think I'm going to use both my wild card spots in the East on a guard.
So I did too. So maybe we should just talk about all of them together, because I did try and think about who I would, if you had to choose who's the guard, who's the wild card, and how you prioritize that. And whereas these guys are all so close, like, I'm not going to bang my head over that.
Yeah.
So I've got Kyle Lowry, John Wall, Victor Oladipo, and then very, very narrowly, I've Kemba Walker over Bradley Beal. Ooh. But that was a tough call.
I have Oladipo, Wall, Bradley Beal, and then I have Kyle Lowry in there as well. It's a really tough call.
So Beal Walker is the only one we disagree on.
Yeah. Kemba's been fantastic this year. He really has been. I think I'm holding him back more for team reasons. Kyle Lowry has been part of one of the more, and it's not always fair in an All-Star situation, or just because that's not fair to Kemba Walker situation, but Lowry is part of second best team in the East so far, and the third and a key cog, and I think he deserves to go. Plus he's had a really good season, don't get me wrong, but it's to me, I think the team success gives him the little bump.
I don't want to interrupt you talking about how good Lowry is, because I have him too. It's Beal and Kemba that we differ on.
Beal.
I left
okay.
Beal off. And I've got a good Kemba Walker stat. When Kemba Walker is on the floor, by net rating, the Hornets are better than the Cavaliers are while LeBron James is on the floor, better than the Bucks are with Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor, better than the Pelicans are with Anthony Davis on the floor. Like, the Hornets are really bad because of what happens when Kemba Walker sits down, because they have bad backup point guards, because they don't stagger enough and give those minutes to Nicholas Batum. I'm not blaming Kemba for that. And that, you know, it's still a close call. He's a borderline all-star. He was last year. He might have been the year before. But that's a big reason I give Kemba the edge. The Hornets still look like a team that would have an all-star when he's on the court.
Yeah, well, obviously they've got John Wall, and they've got probably one of the better starting fives. I haven't looked at the plus-minus numbers this year, but it was that way last year, and I'm sure it is again. There's the starting five in Washington is really solid. They've gotten a little bit better bench play this year with Oubre and stuff. And Tim Frazier sucking less than the last point guards they've had, but there's still a drop there. That said, to me, Beal has kind of earned it, as he's really grown into, I think, the role of a quality two guard. I don't think playing next to John Wall is for everybody.
So I think this is a good chance to clarify how I view All-Stars, because I do it a little differently than most people. I don't stress over who's had the best 40-some-odd sample to date, pour over the numbers, I think you would or should for all NBA for the full season.
Oh, yeah, no, that's...
It's about who's the best player, because I think Bradley Beal has been the Wizards' best player so far this season. I think he's been better than John Wall, but I still have Wall in the All-Star team because I think he is a better player than Bradley Beal.
Yeah, and I'm with you, by the way, on this. Like, I also, and I had, I got a lot of crap from people. Like I said, I have had one of the media votes, and I put it out on Twitter, and the one response I got was, how can you have DeRozan over Oladipo? And aside the fact that it's really pretty close statistically in a lot of other ways to me, you're right. This is about who's the better player, who's got a body of work. Oladipo has been fantastic this year. He deserves to be an All-Star, but DeRozan's done this for years, and it's sort of the same. And it's sort of the same thing here. I'm giving Beal some, although Walker's done it for years too. I'm giving Beal some credit for the team's success, which, although I don't know, the two times I've seen them this year, they've been wretched. Like, they've just come out partially because they were playing the beat up Clippers and then the Lakers, who were, you know, two not very good teams. And in both cases, they came out not caring, which has been one of their issues with below 500 teams for a while. They were awful. And I loved that Beal after the game was like, we can't keep doing this to bad teams. We can't keep coming out and just being flat out terrible. We have to be a little more serious. But you're right. I think he's been John Wall's equal or better. And I think he's really adapted to the role they've given him there. So I give him the nod. But if Kemba gets in, that's really close. It's really good. So who are your three? Then that we've each got three front court players. And frankly, there are four guys I could have put there. So who do you have?
Yeah, I was also with four. So I have Andre Drummond, Kevin Love, and Al Horford. The odd man out being Kristaps Porzingis, who is also in contention for that wild card spot with Kemba Walker and Bradley Beal.
And I had Horford and Drummond as well. I kept Porzingis in and bumped Love out. And the debate I really had was Lowry and Love for a while. I went with Lowry, but it's hard to leave Love off that list. After that, there's a drop-off. I mean, you could make a case for Tobias Harris, I guess, or somebody farther down the list, but I think there's a little bit of a drop there. But somebody is going to get bumped out there. And I had Love. You had Porzingis earning the wrath of the entire state of New York.
He's dropped. He had such a hot start. And
yes.
Looked like an All-Star lock and maybe somebody who even gets MVP votes. He's dropped off.
Yes,
he
has.
The physicality of the NBA gets to him. He gets worn out. He's still a very good player. He's like a borderline All-Star, but he's not quite sustaining it. He's not the rebounder you'd hope he'd be at his size. He doesn't really pass. He doesn't look for his teammates. Like, these are okay things given his age, but that's not a handicap I give him when it comes to picking All-Stars.
Yeah, I will grant you that. And by the way, that's really become an issue. I think it's one of those, like, and it was something Phil Jackson was genuinely, I mean, Phil Jackson had his other issues going on, but he was genuinely with them, but he was genuinely concerned about the durability of Porzingis over time. Was he going to be good enough? Was he going to be healthy enough over time? Or was he going to break down? And he's like, you can say he's got to put on some more muscle and he's got to do this and that. And he works out hard in the off season, but they've got to find a way to get him more durable, even if that's cutting back some minutes during the season, because they've got to find a way to have him not fade, which has become a thing.
Trading him because he skipped his exit meeting would have been ridiculous, but shopping him because his stock was very high and maybe that was the right time to sell on him, that wasn't so bad. Like, Phil Jackson got killed for listening to offers, and in the context, there are a lot of disturbing things of why Phil Jackson might have been doing that. That's a little different, but just the principle of listening to offers and seeing what's there, it made sense.
Yeah, and I would agree, although I think the other factor that Phil ignored, and you just can't, and this comes, frankly, you see it right now in Memphis, it comes into play with Kemba Walker in Charlotte as well, if you're talking about trading him. Boy, he is the face of the franchise right now. Like, everybody in New York has picked Kristaps Porzingis as the savior. And if you trade him, you can't just do it for picks. Like, you got to bring back something of real, genuine value, because you're talking about, I mean, we are still talking about an All-Star level player. You know, we're talking about whether he's in or out on the bubble. We're talking about a guy of that level and the face, a young face of the franchise. If you're going to talk about trading him, you better bring it. You better get real value back, and I don't know that the Knicks would have done that. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, again, it's just the idea of looking around, seeing what's there. If nothing is the type of deal you're talking about, don't trade him.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun. Now let's move on to the brutal side of it. The West is just overloaded with talent, and if you were drawing from one big pool, a couple of those guys in the East would have gotten bumped for a couple of guys in the West right now. So let's talk about who would be in or out for you, and let's start with the front court. I'll tell you that my three front court picks were, I think, I had LaMarcus Aldridge on my starting group, so obviously he is at the top of my list for the top of the reserves, and he deserves to be there. He's been fantastic for the Spurs. My other two are Draymond Green and Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yep, I'm 100% with you. Those are my picks. Does that mean you have four guards in the West also?
I do have four guards in the West,
and
that leaves Paul George on the outside looking in, and that bothers me.
Yeah, that was a tough one. He's right there, but I just Towns was somebody who I was more on the edge of, and just lately his play has ascended throughout this season. He's figuring things out defensively. It seems like he's a little more involved offensively, which probably wasn't his fault, but it affected a little bit of how things were going. Just better and better, and
you know,
by the time the All-Star game comes around, he might be an absolute no-brainer pick.
Yeah, and by the way, we've talked about this before. His biggest weakness, obviously, was defensive focus and caring, but also just not—he was just not engaged on that. And since, I don't know, the first of the year, give or take, when they told him, "Hey, go start blocking everything, take charge," it was an interesting note out of Zach Lowe's podcast with Jim Peterson, the broadcaster for the fantastic broadcast for the Timberwolves. Were you with me on this? Timberwolves probably the best of the league pass, like, out-of-town broadcast guys?
If they're not the best, they're right up there. I'd have to think through every team, but yeah, they're right up there.
I mean, they're so good. And so he had Peterson on, and Peterson said that they told Towns to start, go block everything. I don't care if it takes you out of position. I don't care if you leave your guy. And that engaged him. And now he's picking his spots better. He's not just chasing everything, but it got him engaged on that end, and he's making smarter decisions. He's been a better defender, and that's helped key their defense coming back around, along with some health and some other issues coming around for them. That to me was the big missing piece for him as an all NBA type guy, not just an all-star, and he's been great. So yeah, I can't put Paul George ahead of any of those three, but I hate leaving him off because he's had a really nice year.
And he's a defensive player of the year candidate.
Yep.
Finding his way again offensively. With Draymond Green, he hasn't seemed to have the same impact this year as he usually does. Did that give you any pause of including him?
A little. He hasn't been his same self, but when I was looking at the other options, I still think his impact is still there, and not just picking up technicals. His impact has been there in terms of scoring and when they've needed him as well. So I think you get some bump for your body of work and the credentials for the team you play on. And obviously Green's on a winning team and has done this for years.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. It's kind of where we pick more based on how good is that player, not how good has he been over this short sample of 40 some games.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, as you said earlier, you know, I had the all NBA vote last year and votes on everything, but sweated the heck out of some of that stuff. And it really, to me, all NBA is about that year. It's about that season. I'm not going to give you credit for previous bits of work, you know. That applies here to a degree. It's not like we're putting Kawhi Leonard on the team or something, you know, who's a clear and obvious all-star most years, but not this year. So we're down to...
Well, on Kawhi, one, I thought about it because of the way I think. But he also hasn't been that effective. Like, this has been a nagging injury. Like, I just don't think he's quite on that level. And two, thank God he's not an all-star this year, because this is hard enough without him.
Exactly. Now we're really leaving people off. So that brings us, we both have four guards out in the West. I can guarantee you that two of us, we're on the exact same page with two of them. Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler.
Yep, absolutely. And I have one other one who I feel really good about including, and that's Chris Paul. Like, I think he definitely belongs. It was the fourth one where it was real tough.
Yeah, and this is where it gets tough for me, because I've got, I posted this morning on the three things of guys I had, and I didn't have Chris Paul in there, and I've kind of been honestly rethinking the four I had since this morning, because it's that close. And I I was like, how am I leaving Chris Paul out with how he did when Harden was out? Which, look, the team wasn't as good, but he was fantastic. By the way, that little, we're talking about Karl Towns' defense. Did you catch the little bit between those two last night where Chris Paul just puts on an absolute dribbling clinic out on the perimeter in the corner, out at the arc with Towns on him, and Towns stays with him, then Chris Paul creates a little space, starts to drive across the lane. Jimmy Butler does a really nice job slipping back off his guy and kind of cutting that off. And when he pulls back out, Towns is right with him and never lets him get off a good shot. It was really both good team defense and showed that how much Towns can just move his feet on the perimeter and can stick with people. It was really impressive. But it also showed off that Chris Paul, like, if he hadn't been an NBA player, could have, like, made a great living with the Globetrotters as a dribbling specialist because, geez, he is impressive. Yeah, Chris Paul is in there. I mean, who else do you have in the who is your other two?
So the four would be Westbrook, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, and the last spot I gave to Damian Lillard. So it's a wild card spot, so it could be over anybody. And it was really tough to leave off Nikola Jokic. And Paul George wasn't too far behind, but Jokic was the one I really sweated by. I gave the very slightest edge to Lillard. Who'd you have?
I put Clay in there. Here's the one that killed me. And I had him this morning. I had no Chris Paul, and I had Lou Williams in there. That's a guy who's, he's done it for years, but he carried a Clippers team for most of the season and has played at an all-star level. And to do that, again, left out, I got plenty of it from Blazers fans on Twitter about leaving Lillard out, and nobody felt good about that. Like, Lillard has been 25 points a game, dishing out 6-plus assists a night, just being Damian Lillard. And by the way, his defense has gotten better. He's not exactly locked down, but they're playing better defense, and he's playing better defense up there in Portland. The whole thing is, between Klay Thompson, Chris Paul, Lou Williams, Damian Lillard, and you can only take two. I mean, you're leaving out really good players.
Yeah, I mean,
and Jokic, Jokic, your Jokic there. Point was really, we didn't even discuss him with guys left off at forward, front court. He was right there for me, too. Jokic has been phenomenal this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, he could have made it. He was right in the mix with those guys. With Lillard and somebody like Lou Williams, this is the thought exercise I like to use. Imagine a completely average team, average starting point guard, average starting shooting guard all the way down, average sixth man, average seventh man all the way down, and sub in those guys on that team. So you either have that completely average team with Lou Williams or that completely average team with Damian Lillard. Which of those teams do you think is better? I think it's pretty clearly Damian Lillard. At least that's what I've got to say right now. Lou Williams is coming off an awesome hot stretch, playing very well at a time the Clippers needed him. But we've seen him over his whole career. He's, like, capable of getting hot for extended stretches. I think he's an underrated player overall. But that's not quite all-star level just because he happened to put it together at the right time. We kind of know who he is. And even if he's legitimately improved, I'm not convinced of that. And it's just not enough for me to say he's better than Damian Lillard or somebody of that ilk.
Yeah, but I will also say that when you're talking about Klay Thompson and Lou Williams versus Lillard, Thompson and Williams are both far more efficient. Lillard is still, part of the nature of their offense, but yeah, he gets a lot of points, but he's not the most efficient shooter from three or inside the arc. He takes a lot of shots to get his points. He's got to create shots for everybody. I get that. And I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but if you're going to count efficiency into it, then Thompson and Williams have to get a nudge there.
For sure. Klay Thompson plays with three other stars who take up. There's a reason Thompson's so efficient. I think Lillard is a little better. There's so much put on to Lillard that's not in Thompson that there has been put onto Lou Williams lately.
Yeah.
It's just not a long enough stretch to convince me that it's more than a hot streak. It might be. It might be legitimate improvement. He might deserve to be an all-star. I'm just not willing to go that far from what I've seen.
All right, so Klay Thompson is not this coming summer, but a free agent in two summers. Warriors are talking about keeping him, and he's talking about taking possibly discounts to stay already. We're going to ignore all that. If you were a team looking for a star player, would you go after him?
I'll tell you what team is going to go after him. At least would if I was still in charge. and that's LeBron's All-Star team. I know LeBron and Draymond are friends, but I want to get Klay Thompson away from the other Warriors. And I'm going to pass him the ball and let him work and let him cook and let him experience being that go-to player and see if he likes it. Because that's like the chance. He hasn't really experienced that. He hasn't been that player in the NBA. But this could be an opportunity. And if I'm another team, absolutely I'd be going after him.
So what you're saying is LeBron and Klay Thompson are going to team up with the Lakers in 2 years to form a super team with Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. And of course,
LeBron and Klay Thompson would be some nice compliments to Lonzo Ball.
Actually, that would be a really good, those three together would be really good, really interesting together. And I don't think they need DeMarcus. They talk about, I don't think DeMarcus Cousins leaves New Orleans, but if you've got I would say the same thing about a lot of teams with young rosters. Do you really want to bring DeMarcus Cousins into that mix? Is that the tone and work ethic? I mean, actually, work ethic's not the thing to say about him because he does put in the work, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the guy you want.
I agree with that, and that's a reason, you know, he got voted a starter, so we didn't talk about him really in this reserve section.
Yeah.
But that's a reason, you know, he's putting up great numbers, but those are all reasons, like, I think that contributes to his value, and I guess I'm kind of glad I didn't have to decide on him whether he should get an All-Star spot, because I don't know what I would have done. He's such a complex case, because he's very productive at times, but his effort wanes, his attitude gets sometimes poor, that can be contagious. He brings a lot of positives, but also a lot of negatives, in a way that I don't know if there's anybody else in the league anywhere close to that.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because I've seen people really touting Cousins even over Anthony Davis. I'm like, I think you're just looking at the raw numbers, because if you watch them play, to me it's pretty evident that Davis is far more crucial to what they do at both ends of the floor. And Davis really pretty much brings it almost every night. Like Davis is a top five NBA player and plays like a top five NBA player.
When he's not hurt with some little knick-knack injury that, yeah, I'm not saying they're not real injuries and shouldn't really keep him out, but he does seem very susceptible to those, which also should matter.
It does. We've discussed before in our last podcast, when he gets to your MVP and All-NBA, like how much you play and durability matters. Like how many games you're in matters. It doesn't matter as much to me for All-Star. And look, we've got Steph Curry in there and he's missed, 15 games already this season, you know. But we're still putting him in because he's Steph Curry and it's the All-Star game, but that does impact when you get to All-NBA and MVP type voting. Like how much does he play? How many possessions does this guy impact?
Yep. 100% with you. Like, I don't care that Curry missed the games. I care that Kawhi Leonard is not playing well as a result of an injury. If he missed a bunch and then came back and was full force Kawhi, I'd probably put him in the game. He's not full force Kawhi, though, so he doesn't belong in. But the fact that Curry missed games earlier in the year, because he's now killing it, absolutely killing it, I don't care at all about this game.
All right, so now that we've solved the Western Conference All-Star seedings, we can pretty much solve anything. We'll be on to Middle East Peace next podcast. Thanks a lot to Dan Feldman. You can find him, his work at NBC Sports, and at Dan Feldman NBA on Twitter. I'm Kurt Heelan, at Basketball Talk on Twitter, and of course also at NBC Sports. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with another Pro Basketball Talk podcast.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.